Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
I welcome all of you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, and I'll be leading worship here today. Dorothy Driscoll is our liturgist. Heather Hicks will be delivering the especially for children's message. Earl Linhart is directing our choir, and Lynn Meyer is playing the organ for us this morning. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out one of the welcome cards and leave it in the offering plates, which are here at the back of the front part of the sanctuary. If you are visiting with us on our live stream, I invite you to leave a message on Facebook. And if anyone would like to learn more about this congregation, you're invited to call the church office at 614-882-3155. As we begin our announcements this morning, I do have a very sad announcement to share, and that is that Mike Etling died last Thursday. There will be a memorial service for him on Tuesday, May 10th. There will be a graveside for the immediate family at 10 in the morning. Then at 10:45, there will be a visitation with the family here at the church, with a memorial service starting at noon and a luncheon following, thanks to our deacons. One note is this is the first time this has happened since our new parking lot, and in our agreement with the city, we'll be closing the parking lot off Tuesday morning, and we'll have volunteers out there to move the cones to let you in for the parking, but it'll be this east parking lot here that'll be closed off to allow for parking for all of you and for the family as they come. We don't know how many to expect. If we overflow that parking lot, of course there's other parking lots here in uptown. Turning to the service this morning, the flowers this morning are given by Tom Stevens in memory of Kelly Lockwood Leslie. Also want to announce that there will be a meeting of the congregation next Sunday, May 15th, around about 11 a.m. or so. It'll be immediately following the worship service for the purpose of electing officers. Members are asked to attend. Visitors are welcome to attend. The meeting will be held in person, but it will be live streamed, so those who are on the live stream can observe. However, those observing the meeting will not be able to vote. And since the vote is always unanimous for our officers, I don't think that'll be a problem. Just to note, the farmers market will be returning to the community parking lot out that way on the 21st of May, and we are excited to announce that we are going to be having our own part of the farmers market, thanks to our Christian Ed department. They will be offering games and other activities for children and families to participate in when they come here to Uptown for the market. We will need some volunteers to make this happen, and if you'd like to volunteer, there is a sign-up sheet in our sign-up book out there in the gathering area, and you're welcome to ask questions of Heather. She'll be glad to tell you what's going on, and we'd love to have help as we sort of share ourselves with the farmers market and provide some fun for families here as well. This Friday, May 13th, the Dine Out group will be gathering at Mimi's Cafe at 6:30, and if you're planning to go, you should call Jim Hines or Bob Place. That being our announcements for this morning, let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Thank you.
Good morning. Let us enter worship by having our call to worship. Let the prayer enjoy our God. Let the people, and we should be praying too, so it goes together. And they both start with P. So let the people enjoy our God.
The people enjoy our God Almighty.
Let all the people everywhere shout their happiness.
Because the Lord has blessed the earth, and we have received God's blessing.
Let all the people worship God. Now join me in the prayer of approach. O God, may the eyes of our understanding be flooded with your light, that we may know the hope to which we have been called. How rich is your glory and inheritance. May we ever carry the glory of your mighty hope into the commonness of our days. God, prepare us for the height of blessing to which you have called us, that we may experience the wonder of your love as we worship you today. Amen.
May be seated. I don't see any young people in our congregation this morning, but I know we've got some at home, and we've all got one in here, right? Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers and all of those who have been mothers to all of us in our church and in our hearts. I wanted to talk a little bit today about mothers because we are very fortunate that we have a Bible that is translated into English. But being translated into English, sometimes we miss out on things from the Hebrew translation, which is the original language that the Bible, especially the Old Testament, was written in. And what's amazing about other languages is when you're learning another language, you learn that sometimes words might have a male or female connotation. For example, sometimes when we think of a ship, often we, like a boat that goes out, a ship that's sailing, a lot of times the ship is referred to as she, right? We've heard that expression before. And there are other things that we have with that. Well, it's the same in the Bible. Believe it or not, in the very beginning of the Bible, it doesn't say if God is male or female. In fact, both, there are several words that are used. One is male and one is female. But we don't get that in our English language, do we? We just don't have that kind of thing in our English language. But we do in the Bible have many different places where it talks about God as if God were a male figure, like a father or a king or a lord. We have all that beautiful language in there, don't we, that describes God. But we also have things in there that talk about God as a female. In fact, a mother, Jesus, and the Old Testament even, uses mother language to talk about how God is relating to God's people. In the Old Testament, we see very frequently God describing God's self as a mother who is having a baby. We see that language all the time in the Old Testament. And it's Mother's Day, so we can imagine God as a mother who goes through all kinds of things for their children. One of my favorite mother images is one that Jesus gives just before he's arrested and dies on the cross. And he says, "How I wish that I could gather Israel, the nation of Israel, under my wings like a mother protecting her chicks." Isn't that a beautiful image? I think we can imagine a mother with her chicks under her wings if it's raining. One of my favorite Disney movies has the little chicks and the quail is running and she's got her wings spread out so that her little chicks don't get wet. We have those beautiful images of God as a mother. And so as we remember our mothers today, I want us to remember all of those beautiful images that come from Scripture that talk about God as one of our mother figures. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for these beautiful images, both male and female. But we really appreciate today those images of you as a mother who is guiding us and protecting us and doing whatever you can for us. And we thank you, O God, for those lovely images of yourself. It's in Jesus' most precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir. We are so glad you're back to bring us such beautiful, beautiful music. So now let's read our scriptures for today. And it starts with Psalm 89, 5 through 18. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the Holy One. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? Of God feared in the council of the holy ones, great and awesome above all that are around him. O Lord of hosts, who is mighty as you, O Lord? Your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You crushed Rahab like a carcass. You scatter your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth is also as yours. The world and all that is in it. You have founded them. The north and the south, you created them. Tabor and Hermon, joyously praise your name. You had a mighty arm. Strong is your hand. High your right hand. Excuse me. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and all the faithfulness go before you. Happy are the people who know your festive shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. They exalt your name all day long. They extol your righteousness, for you are the glory of their strength. By your favor, our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. And then the New Testament goes over to Romans 6, 1 through 4. What then are we to say? Should we continue to sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? You do not know that all of us who have been baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism unto death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in our newness of life. Blessed the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask your blessings upon us this morning as we ponder your holy word. May the words I speak and the words that we all think be found pleasing in your sight. Amen. Many, many years ago, when I was young, I was hiking with my Boy Scout troop. And while we were walking along, one of the scouts asked out loud, if trees could talk, what would they say? And we all looked at him, strangely, wondering what that question was all about. And so one of the older scouts then spoke up and said, if they did, I'll bet we couldn't understand them. And then we all looked at him and said, well, why would you say that? And the older scouts said, because they would probably only bark. Okay, it was a dumb joke, wasn't it? But it's better than the other one I came up with, which goes like this. A pastor's out on a hike, and he comes around a rock ledge, and he comes face to face with a giant grizzly bear. The bear lets out a growl and is about to charge when the pastor falls to his knees and prays, Lord, I pray that this bear would be a Christian. And in an amazing miracle, the bear is converted instantly, and he stops where he is. And the bear looks heavenwards and begins to say a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this meal I'm about to eat. Okay, that's enough. But sometimes when you're out on a grueling hike, you just have to make a joke. And as you might know, Kathy and I are avid hikers, and we like to take walks in the woods to refresh our bodies and our souls. And so you can see why our scriptures this morning appealed to me. They both speak of walking. The psalm speaks of walking in the light of the Lord's countenance. And our New Testament reading speaks of walking in the newness of life. Now, walking is a common metaphor in the Bible. We might remember passages like this one. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light, which is from the prophet Isaiah and which is read every Christmas. Or from Micah, we might read, "What does the Lord require but to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" Or maybe this one from Galatians, "Let us walk in the Spirit." These passages are the ones, and the ones that were read this morning, we see walking as a metaphor of how we are to live our lives. We can either be walking in darkness, as Isaiah tells us, or we can be walking in the light of the Lord's countenance, as the psalm tells us. And I guess it shouldn't surprise us that in a society back then where most people walked to wherever they wanted to go, walking would be used as a metaphor for life. Now, walking is a word we know well, right? It's a word that we can picture. And the first thing we can picture when we walk is movement. Walking means going somewhere. It means starting out in one place and ending up somewhere else. Except when you're hiking, because you end up coming back. But that's another part of the story. You end up start one place and end at another place in walking. Certainly in Paul's society, that was the whole purpose of walking, to get somewhere. Paul uses the word walking in just this way, as moving from one place to another. In Romans, Paul is speaking of a movement of a place from sinfulness to a place that encompasses newness of life, a place removed from the selfish self-focus of life, of one's individual life, into a place that is directed towards the selflessness, towards God. And walking, thus, is a metaphor for change in our passage. If we are going to walk in newness of life, then we need to move. It isn't something that just happens. It is something that we consciously take part in. We don't get anywhere just by sitting. Sitting is nice. Sitting is relaxing. I'll go home and sit after this worship service this morning. It feels good, but it doesn't get us anywhere. Paul didn't write, "Sit in the newness of life." He wrote, "Walk in the newness of life." And if we are to do this, we need to expect and even welcome change, to grow, to become spiritually healthier by walking, moving, and changing our way of living so that we are better aligned with God and God's ways. The thing about walking, especially intentional walking like hiking, is that it is often hard to get started. It takes effort to get out of the easy chair and go out the door and hike somewhere. For some, it is the physical energy that is required to walk that makes starting so difficult. For most of us, it's the psychic energy of starting that makes the hike so hard. And for all of us, the spiritual energy it takes to walk in newness of life is the barrier that stands between us and that call to walk in newness of life. Walking, like any exercise, is hard to get started, and there are all sorts of reasons not to go take a walk. It's too hot, it's too cold, it's too wet, it's too dry, it's too late, it's too early, it's too much. And then there are the distractions. The football game's going on. I got to check my email. I need to eat before I hike so I'll have energy. I just ate. I can't, too full to go hike. All sorts of reasons. And these are the same sorts of reasons that we use to avoid on our spiritual walk as well. God, I'll change my ways tomorrow. I'm too busy today. That's always our best excuse to not take our spiritual walk with God. And like any new exercise, one should begin one's spiritual walk gradually. One doesn't go on a 20-mile hike the first time they decide to go hiking. One goes on a 1-mile walk first, and then goes longer and longer on their hikes until they're capable of a day-long hike. The same is true for one's spiritual walk. If one wants to improve one's prayer life, let's say, One should begin to start gradually. Set aside 5 minutes each day. Stick to it, though. Get in the habit of resisting the temptation to do something else instead. And then when one gets into a regular habit of praying for those 5 minutes each day, then one can increase it to 10 minutes and 15 minutes and more. But it does take some time to build up physical, in the case of walking on a hike, and spiritual stamina. Of course, walking does have all sorts of benefits. It's good for the body, it builds muscle, trims fat, helps the heart, all good things. Walking with God has all those spiritual benefits as well. When one reorients one's life towards God, it means that one is moving away from things that are spiritually harmful. One becomes less interested in selfish behaviors and more interested in selfless behaviors. As we grow in our spiritual walk, we'll find that it is easier to resist the temptations to sin. We find it is also easier to live within the law of God. As we intentionally walk in the Spirit, we learn to love God more and our neighbors more as well. We see the world through God's eyes, and when we do, we learn to appreciate the world around us, God's created world, and especially the people God created for that world. As we grow in our spiritual walk, we realize that all people are God's children. And God loves us all, and we are all called to love each other as well. And when we can appreciate all of God's creation and all of God's people, we discover a deep inner joy that comes from our connectedness to God and to God's created order. Another mental image we get when we speak of walking is that when one is out walking, especially hiking, the route will be up and down. And so it will be with one's spiritual walk as well. There will be times when it will be harder and times when it will be easier, but it'll seldom be level. And just as hiking to the top of a hill leads to a grand vista, or a hike down a steep canyon leads to a glorious waterfall, so for us, as we travel on our spiritual walk, we will become better at noticing God's presence with us and in the world around us. And when we do, it will be more glorious than any waterfall and more grand than any vista. And of course, when one goes out walking, one is likely to stumble from time to time. And we stumble on our spiritual walks as well. And when we do, we discover that God is there forgiving us and lifting us up so we can get back on the path of righteousness again. And there's one other aspect of walking that seems to apply to our spiritual lives as well. That is, when you walk, you don't always know what's ahead. One of the joys of hiking is being surprised, even on a familiar trail. When you go out walking, you may suddenly see a deer standing in the woods, or watch a snake slither across the trail, or hear a delightful songbird in the trees above you. Similarly, when we walk in the newness of life, we will find surprises as well, moments when God touches our lives, and we feel that joy that comes from that connection with God, a delight that is like nothing else. So there you have it. Take a hike and live in the newness of life. Amen.
Please stand and join me in the affirmation of faith. The attitude we should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared
appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place, gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all the beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Amen.
Seated. As we come together in prayer, we do want to lift up those who are in particular need of prayer, and this being Mother's Day, of course, we want to celebrate mothers and our mothers and those who are mothers to us. We rejoice in that. Let us take a moment and offer our personal prayers to God, and then I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. Lord God, we thank you on this day for mothers. our own mothers and the love and care they have given us. May this day be special for them and for all mothers. And as we remember our mothers, we pray for those who are separated from their mothers on this special day, for those who are separated by distance or circumstance, and especially those who are separated by death. May all find their connections through you. We pray as well for those who never knew their mothers, who were separated from their mothers at a young age, who never knew the woman who gave them birth. We pray as well for those for whom their relationship with their mother is strained or broken. And if it be possible, Lord, help them to mend these broken relationships and rediscover that special bond. We pray as well for mothers who are separated from their children on this day and for those children who are estranged. We pray particularly for those mothers who have lost their children and cry with them this day, just as we cry with those who want to be mothers but have not had that blessing. And on this Mother's Day, we pray for all those who have been like mothers to us, those who have cared for us, taught us, fed us, nurtured us, and guided us. For these men and women, we give you thanks, O God of love and compassion. And so on this day, we pray for those who are sick, those who are injured, those who are recovering from surgery, those facing the challenges of age. We pray for the grieving, the sorrowful, and the lonely. We pray for relationships broken and relationships repaired. We pray for birthdays and anniversaries and all the other special events of life, and we pray for each other, Lord, that we may all come to know you better this day and always. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, if you'd please stand and join in the congregational response. Reminder that we do have a wonderful refreshments out there. I took a peek at the cookies. Thank you, whoever prepared the cookies. Lord, wonderful. I didn't take one, though. When you do leave this place, walk in the newness of life, and may God walk with you every step of the way. Amen.
Thank you.